As I mentioned a few weeks ago, a woman's prerogative is to change her mind. I'm afraid I've changed my mind once again. So this morning, I'd like to read John 1, 1 through 17 in its entirety instead of a sketchy few verses. So please listen to the word of God to you today as I read John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightened everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Recognize this one? First half or second half? Anybody remember? Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamay va'et ha'aretz. In the beginning was the Word. I'm sorry. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. And God said, Yehi over, vahi over. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Scholars believe that these words were first penned in approximately 950 BC, when the people of Israel had come to understand that the God of Abraham, the God of Moses, the God of David and Solomon, the God of Israel, was the Creator God, whose very words spoke the heavens, spoke the earth, spoke life, spoke all of creation into being. Over 1,000 years later, these words were penned. En arche, ein ho logos, in the beginning, was the Word. Kai ho logos, the Word. In proston theon, was with God. Kai theos in ho logos, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Kai ho logos, sarx and enento, and the word became flesh and lived among us. We have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's Son, full of grace and truth. Perhaps 10, perhaps 20 years earlier, these words were penned by another. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to complete a narrative of the things which have been accomplished among us, just as they were delivered to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account, that you may know the truth concerning the things of which you have been informed. Then the writer of the Gospel of Luke tells us that Zechariah, a priest, who lived blamelessly according to the commandments and regulations of the Lord, was told by the angel of the Lord that his wife Elizabeth, who was barren and getting on in years, would bear him a son, whom he was to name John. But Zechariah did not believe the angel Gabriel's words, so he was struck dumb until the day when these things would occur. And after those days, his wife, Elizabeth, did indeed conceive. And then we are told in the Gospel of Luke that the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin, betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what he said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary answered, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. During the season of Advent, we read this story year after year after year, and take it for granted. It is a familiar story. It is a story with which we have become comfortable. So it tends to wash over us rather like warm water in the shower. It brings us comfort. We envision a stable with Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the sheep and a donkey, and the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. We envision there is a hush with only the braying of the donkey breaking the silence on occasion. The star overhead shines. And momentarily in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, all is calm. All is bright. But is this story, told by the Gospel of Luke, spoken into existence by our God, our Creator God, lived by Jesus of Nazareth, the babe who became a man, is this story really comfortable? Should it be? Should it wash over us like warm water in a shower? Or should it rather wash over us like an icy shower waking up someone who's had a bit too much to drink? We hear the story over and over and over again, year after year, but do we really comprehend the magnitude of this event we call Christmas? This cute little babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, who is portrayed in nearly every manger scene with a little halo over his curly little head, this little babe is to be the savior of the world. This little babe grows up and claims to be the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of Man, the Son of God. He grows up, and when pressed by the Jews who said to him, "If you are the Christ, tell us plainly," responded to them saying, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. I and the Father are one." I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. This is an outrageous statement. If we take this statement seriously, it means that in Jesus we are confronted by God. If we take this statement seriously, it means no less than God becoming man. If we take this statement seriously, it means not only did God become man, but that God became an infant. If we take this statement seriously, it means God being dependent on two Hebrew parents, God wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, God having to cry to be fed, God nursing at the breast of a lowly handmaiden. It means God having to have his dirty diapers changed. Does that idea offend you? It should. It should offend every fiber of your rational being. It should offend your intellect. It should offend your emotions. It should offend every sense of reality that the world has ever taught you. God becoming man. God who is eternal becoming temporal. God who is infinite becoming finite. God who is incomprehensible, omnipotent, and invisible becoming one in substance with a little bitty baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. This is offensive to the very foundation of traditional concepts of God and of man. God is the creator. God, who created the heavens and the earth, this earth which rotates on its axis at the rate of 1,000 miles per hour at its widest circumference, which means that the spot where Milford Presbyterian Church stands here is moving around the Earth's axis at a rate of approximately 700 miles per hour, which is nearly the rate at which the sound of my voice is traveling through the air to reach you. And that seems to take but an instant. This Earth, which makes its annual revolution around the sun at the rate of 20 miles per second, which translates into 72,000 miles per hour, Just try to imagine that speed. Our Earth is traveling around the sun at a speed that is 100 times the speed of sound. God created our Earth. And God created the heavens, which means everything in our universe and whatever is beyond our universe. With our modern technology, we know that the observable universe has a radius of approximately 46 billion light years. Now, a light year is a distance traveled by light in 1 year. With light traveling at 186,284 miles per second, this makes a light year approximately 6 trillion miles. That is 6,000,000,000,000. Did I miss one? Count them. 6 sets of 12 zeros, which means that our universe is 2 times 46 times 6 trillion miles across. Now add this astronomical number to the fact that this expanse of visible universe is expanding. Each planet, each sun, each solar system, and each galaxy is moving at immense speeds away from the universe's center, so that the galaxies at the outer edges of the universe are traveling near the speed of light itself. All these details hurt your brain? Hurt mine. The magnitude of the size of this universe and the extraordinary speeds at which the planets and solar systems and galaxies are hurling through space are so great that the only way we can begin to envision them is to have the computer continue to add more and more zeros. It is virtually impossible for us to conceive of the vastness of this universe. Yet, we believe God created it. God created this universe of which we can barely conceive, and yet, we Christians believe that God became man. We believe that God, who created the universe out of nothing, who himself needs nothing, who is almighty, infinite, and eternal, who is beyond our comprehension, became a man. And not only a man, but we believe this God became a little bitty babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. To say that God, our God, our Creator God, became human is outrageous. It's impossible. It's absurd. It's a reversal of our very concept of reality. Yet this is what we believe, my brothers and sisters. We believe that God chose. Our God chose. Our Creator God chose to see the world through our eyes, to see the world from our perspective, to feel the world through our flesh, to feel the world within our emotions, to live a human life, to live a human life like ours, a life of promise and of disappointment, a life of love and betrayal, a life of hope and of despair, a life like ours, and yet not like ours. The life of Jesus, Yeshua, which means Yahweh is salvation, God is salvation. This life of Jesus is the dawn of redeeming grace, born in the manger. Truly outrageous and infinitely gracious. When Mary greeted her kinswoman Elizabeth, who was with child in her advanced years, the child within Elizabeth, John, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to Mary, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Mary, in turn, responded, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." Now I ask you, who can say it better than that? God became man in the infant Yeshua. And nothing, nothing will ever be the same again. Amen.